mad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. Tonight I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my countrymen, they're walking on the fight beside me. Yeah, walking on the fight beside me. Running down with life, I'm fighting in the cause of that heat. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. But you're running down my countryman, you're walking on the fight beside me. You just don't believe in fight. And I wonder just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They love our milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fight beside me. Yeah, walking on the fight beside me. Down with life, I'm fighting in a fought and died. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you run down my country, man, you're walking on the fight beside me. Yeah, walking on the fight beside me. Running down with life. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. And you run down my country, man, you walking on right beside me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fight inside of me. That's the name of this program here on Light Resistance Radio. .com. Well, lots more news and views for our people. And of course, those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia, New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of you who may be listening this morning in the European heartland. Well, here's a story that will a bit of a. I'm not sure if it's entirely tongue in cheek or not. But about 10 days ago, Gillette, in a complete betrayal of its almost entirely masculine usership and as a politically correct cultural Marxist slap at all its customers, decided to campaign against toxic masculinity. Well, here's a man striking a blow against toxic masculinity. This man graciously allows his pregnant wife to shovel the driveway. Naperville, Illinois. One man has taken the message of Gillette's new toxic masculinity campaign to heart. Devin Camp saw the commercial and it caused him to perform an introspective look at his own motivations and behavior regarding manliness. One area of life he felt especially convicted was the task of snow removal. Quote, I've always just assumed that in our family I would be the one to clear the driveway when we get snow, Camp said. But after seeing the video, I decided to start breaking down the stereotypes passed down from my father and his father before him. So this weekend, when 12 inches of snow fell, I swallowed my pride, handed my wife the shovel, and told her I was going to let her do it. Camp's wife, who was 3 months pregnant, was surprised by the gesture, but honored that her husband would be so forward-thinking as to allow her the privilege of completing a job traditionally reserved for men. Quote, it took me an hour and a half, and I think I strained an oblique muscle, but the pride and joy I felt being married to such a noble and generous man helped me to push through the pain. I think this is actually meant to be satirical, but It's there is, of course, an insanity that stalks the land in these areas. One of the one of the areas of insanity is this notion that that the sexes are the same, but they're not. Now, different doesn't mean inferior or superior; just different. The sexes are not the same. Men generally are stronger than women, more used to physical tasks or heavy physical labor than women. Now, this is not by way of a put down of anybody, but it is by way of an unpleasant fact. And to recognize these, to have traditional role task models, is not in any way to devalue either. This is just part of the way we organize things. Granted, some women in some relationships may be physically stronger and may have to shovel the driveway. But in general, that's a man's task, and rightly so. And masculinity involves recognizing what are the proper roles for men and for women. And in general, and of course there are exceptions, but in general, each sex is better cut out for their traditional roles, and there's nothing wrong with that. And really what the cultural Marxists are trying to do, and their corporate cheerleaders and enablers, is to rewrite nature and human biology. And quite frankly, it isn't going to work. And to fight biology, to fight our basic makeup and nature, is a prescription for disaster. Well, here's another prime bit of lunacy. Some of the world's biggest pop stars have been given a huge dressing down for taking to the stage looking like National Socialist troopers. The trend has highlighted when a Thai starlet was caught on camera wearing a t-shirt emblazoned with a swastika on the eve of International Holocaust Remembrance Day. And her name is Kea Kizaki. The group's name, I believe, is Kea Kizaka, 46. I must say, not the entire world is focused on the tribal memories of one particular group, namely the Jews. And in far-off Thailand, this pop star appeared on stage with a t-shirt wearing a swastika. Believe it or not, on the eve of Holocaust Remembrance Day. I don't think the poor girl even thought about it. Why should she? I'll tell you why she shouldn't. Because it's not her tribe. Holocaust Remembrance Day is a tribal memorial imposed on Western nations by the Jewish lobby. The Holocaust, if some form of it happened to them, not to us. Why should we, who are not them, commemorated with doleful faces every year, 74 years after the end of hostilities? Anyway, to the story. This poor girl didn't know what hit her. The trend was highlighted when a Thai pop star, Pichayappa Namsai Natha, an all-girl band, or PNK as it's called, apologized tearfully and begged for forgiveness. But she isn't the only Asian pop star to be lambasted for looking more SS than M&S, including the king of K-pop, themselves, BTS. The South Korean giants were forced to apologize after a photo emerged of the band leader, RM, wearing a hat with a badge resembling Nazi insignia. The image quickly went viral, prompting criticism from Jewish human rights group, the Simon Wiesenthal Center. Well, it's a Jewish lobby group. It has nothing to do with human rights, only a selfish concern for their own status. And this insignia said the symbol was the Nazi SS Deadhead logo. Quote, it's clear that those designing and promoting this group's career are too comfortable with denigrating the memory of the past. The management should publicly apologize, Rabbi Abraham Cooper, director of the center, said at the time. What business is it of that busy body on steroids? Rabbi Cooper, what some group in South Korea or in Thailand wears? And I am sure that the design wasn't denigrating the memory of anything. It's just a design. The band's management said the hat, which had caused offense, had been given to the singer to wear by a stylist at a magazine photo shoot in 2014. The band also came under fire for waving large flags at a 2017 concert, which were said to be eerily similar to Nazi swastikas. BTS, that's a band in Korea, South Korea. BTS profile had skyrocketed in recent years after becoming the first K-pop band to win a Billboard Music Award, the first K-pop act to sell out a U.S. arena, and various other things that they had done. The Simon Wiesenthal Center also demanded an apology when top Japanese girl group Keiya Kizaka 46 appeared on stage wearing black capes and caps resembling those of SS officers. Why do people have to apologize for being what they are? Far off Japan, what's it to these meddlers? And South Korean girl band Prince has caused a stir with their choice of outfits. Black shirts and red and white armbands were likened to those of World War II German officers. The group's management later said the thought never occurred to them that the outfits could be deemed Nazi-like. No, because the entire world, unlike what is being imposed upon us in the West, is not fixated with the sensibilities or sensitivities of one particular group, namely Jews. I don't support going out of one's way to give people offense, of course. But I think the time has come for people to strike back and say, listen, enough's enough. You know, stop dictating to us. You know, if a particular group, in this case, to be quite blunt about it, Jews are in some cases quite unpopular, it may be because of anti-Semitism. Christianity. No. Their own behavior. If a foreign group were to take exception to something that a Canadian singer or performer did, I would be the first to tell them to buzz off. It's not your business. And finally, rather to conclude the item, the Simon has demanded an apology. And South Korean girl band Prince has caused a stir with their choice of outfits. This is the South Korean group, insisted the logo was inspired by a traffic sign to represent the band's desire to expand without a limit in four directions. An Indonesian star, Ahmad Dhani, drew comparisons with Heinrich Himmler when he appeared in a video wearing a carbon copy of the top National Socialist favorite uniform. However, cultural experts say the bands are not out to cause deliberate offense. Institute for Security and Development Policy non-resident research fellow Elliot Brennan told CNN that Nazi Germany did not have the same cultural meaning as for Westerners in Asia. He said Nazi outfits and regalia often have a more punk or anti-establishment meaning in Asia rather than a political one. And truth to be told, not all the world is caught up in the heavy breathing, virtually psychotic hatred, or induced hatred, of Adolf Hitler, the farther we get from World War II. I understand, of course, the strong emotions and feelings at the time. But this is three or four generations away from World War II. And still, the Zionist lobby keeps pounding away an anti-Hitler message almost as if, and this is the wild thing about it, almost as if he was still in power. He was still in the Reichstag, which of course is simply not the case. And in much of the Orient, Adolf Hitler is admired as a great national leader. He is in much of India. He is in many places in the Orient. And one of the interesting
Muslim Capital Day. We are honored. Thank you.
Oh, yes, I wanted to play this short item for you.
I proclaim the name of the Lord Jesus Christ over the capital of Texas.
Celebrate Texas Muslim Capital Day. Texas. Here's a woman in a hijab. Yay.
Islam will never dominate the United States, and by the grace of God, it will not dominate Texas.
This beautiful blonde woman is pushed away by some guy wearing a bowl for a hat. A brave Christian woman. And there's a white policeman driving her away. America was built on Christian principles, yes. Now this is the sort of very, very powerful testimony and long overdue. Let me have another little natter at something that's been bothering me, and that is cowardice. You know, I have, almost since I first became politically interested, it's almost a preteen, I've been a big supporter of a free enterprise system or capitalism. A lifetime of study has convinced me that, on the whole, competitive free enterprise delivers more goods at lower prices for more people. It produces and provides, but it's not without its problems. And I used to idealize the business community, and I don't denigrate it, but very often businesses are very amoral. They're not the paragons that we might think they are, and many are, quite frankly, irresponsible. Something happened to us on the Monica Schaefer Cross Canada tour on Friday. Now, Monica Schaefer spent 10 months as a political prisoner in Germany. She's a Canadian-born, a Canadian citizen. But she was jailed for her role in a very cute, engaging, 6-minute video she produced in 2016 entitled "Sorry, Mom, I Was Wrong About the Holocaust," in which she apologized to her now long dead mother for things that she had said, for having reproached her when as a teenager, when she was propagandized with the the Holocaust tale in high school, and she came home very self-righteously and demanded of her mother, "Why didn't you do something?" Referring to the events of the Second World War. Now, her mother, had Monica being a little less on her high horse as a teenager, would have realized her mother was a teenager during World War II, and not in much of a position to do anything about the so-called Holocaust. She said, "We just didn't know." Kind of interesting, we just didn't know. We didn't know about it. And that was a thought in my mind, had two possibilities. We were civilians, and the major issues of policy at the time were not necessarily common knowledge to the general population, so we just didn't know. Or could also mean we didn't know because we never heard about it, because it actually didn't happen, or at least not the way it's been described ever since. Anyway, as part of a celebration of her release and to expose her very, very interesting story to a wider audience, and I've been doing that on my last couple of shows with excerpts from her meetings, CAFE is sponsoring a cross-Canada speaking tour for Monica Schaefer. We've already had meetings in London, Ontario, Toronto, Ontario, Ottawa, the nation's capital, Hamilton, Winnipeg, Manitoba, Regina, Saskatchewan, Victoria, the capital of British Columbia, and three meetings in Vancouver, and we have a few more planned for the future. Anyway, on Friday, realized that I'd not made a hotel bedroom booking in Vancouver. So when we were still at the airport in Regina, I got on the telephone and I called the hotel, which was the Best Western Capilano. I called the hotel and I introduced myself and I said, "We have a meeting planned for Sunday and I was at your meeting facility, and I'd like to book a bedroom for Saturday night and Sunday night. Is there availability?" Well, now there's a very simple question that invites one of two answers. Yes, we have availability, or no, we don't. Well, I could hear hesitation and hemming and hawing, and then the desk clerk or whoever answered announced to me, "Your meeting is canceled." I said, "What do you mean your meeting is canceled?" "Oh, the hotel will not host it. The subject matter is inappropriate." "What do you mean subject matter is inappropriate?" We've had complaints. So I thought, okay, put me on to the manager. Well, the same thing. He was, a Persian. Heavy accent. And he started to accuse me of lying. "You lied to us." I said, "What do you mean I lied to you? You didn't tell us about the speaker. We never asked about the speaker." I can hardly lie about... a lie is a deliberate falsehood. I wasn't asked anything. I was asked for a credit card, though. They want the money. Well, I said, "What's the problem?" "Well, they're being. We've had complaints." "Okay, we had phone calls." "All right. Well, so what's the problem?" "Well, the subject matter is not appropriate for our hotel." I said, "Well, what do you mean with the subject matter? You mean freedom of speech?" Well, this is part of the problem. Many businesses, unfortunately, many businessmen have no attachment to any principle other than making money. And so that's why I no longer idealize them as a group. I've known individuals who are outstanding people. I've also known a fair number who are just outstanding shits. So I became aware that they had actually not contacted me. They never formally contacted me. They never contacted me and either by email or other means to say, we're canceling your meeting. In fact, my fear, or my realization was, that had I not called, we might not have known until we got there on Sunday afternoon that the meeting was canceled. Well, anyway, the guide spoke, the manager spoke with a very, very heavy accent. And I thought, you know, why should I in my own country put up with this insolence? Here's a person blithely making money or trying to in my country and not prepared to do a damn thing to support freedom of speech. So I said to him, where are you from? It's none of your business. Well, and then he hung up on me, the coward. I pointed out to him, you know, it is my, you know, in this country, we believe in freedom of speech. That's a value. Freedom to make money, yeah, important. Freedom to run your business, yeah, important too. But also freedom of speech. And it requires everybody to participate. You know, anyway, at that point, of course, we know that you know, we're not going to get the room. And so I made other arrangements, but it's not easy. Yeah, first of all, it's not easy to contact a long list of people. I didn't know, of course, from our invitation list who'd be coming or how many. And that's always a problem. So I had to contact these people and inform them of the new venue. I also had to analyze how it was that our arrangements had gotten out to the public. And I did figure that out. A good supporter, meaning well, had emailed the invitation to a list of people. It was a list of people who were involved over the years in meditation matters. And, you know, what I did point out to this well-meaning person afterwards is that just because you might support, you know, you might be involved in meditation doesn't necessarily mean you're a free speech supporter. We were able to prevail, found a new venue. I reached everybody. And we had the much smaller meeting room absolutely packed. So we had a good meeting. But I might say no thanks to the hotel. And, I take this seriously because we will fight a battle like this several times. I'd say at least once a year, sometimes more often. And in every case, the corporation is cowardly. We don't, or when I ask, well, who called? Well, he wouldn't say. Or how many? He wouldn't say. Well, did they make threats? Yeah, you know, and if they made threats, then that becomes police matter. They of course, give you the bogus argument that, well, it's for the safety and security of our guests. Yeah, well, yeah, but I'd be a guest too, you know? You run a public business providing service to the public. Bedrooms for people to sleep in and enjoy themselves, and in this case, a meeting room for people to hold meetings. Now, if outsiders are threatening, then it's a police matter, not a matter for cancellation. And if people are objecting, you know, here's the very simple answer. We rent out meeting facilities. As long as people pay the bill and behave themselves, that's all. That's what our concern is. What they meet for, what they're saying, what they believe is not our business. We rent meeting space. Once you get into censorship, oh, we won't take these people, we can't take those people, you get away, first of all, from your real business. But and none of this, you see, is required. But you know, if an organization especially headed up by a foreigner, or at least the manager, has no concept of freedom of speech, then that doesn't even occur. Somebody objects, we cancel. But you know, going down that route is the route to mayhem. You know, if we were not, as we are, involved in promoting freedom of speech and immigration reform, I suppose I and my associates could devote a great deal of time trying to find out who's meeting where, and then phoning in objections, and I couldn't very well suggest phoning in threats, but we'll boycott your institution, we'll have a protest, we'll, you know, this is, how dare you host ABC group with their views. And, you know, if enough people in society did that, society would become ungovernable. And what it requires is principle. It requires the hotel managers to stand for something, in this case, freedom of speech. And this can be done in a way that makes it quite clear. Number one, we don't really know what these people are going to say because they haven't said it yet. The meeting hasn't occurred. And secondly, we don't support it or oppose it. We rent meeting space. Just like a restaurant serves food. And it doesn't judge the morality of the person eating the food. You can't serve that person. She's a prostitute. You can't serve him. He once went to jail. You can't save him. He's a fundamentalist Christian. Serve him. He's a fundamentalist Christian. That doesn't operate that way. They're in the business of serving food to anybody who has enough money to buy the meal. We have, of course, a long way to go in securing freedom of speech. Now, as I should say, not just in Canada, meetings are canceled wholesale in the United States. And, you know, some of the people who attended the various Monica Schaefer meetings last week said to me, you know, it's too bad you didn't advertise. More people would like to hear. I agree. I'm sure many people would like to have heard the very moving story by Monica Schaefer and her music, which she played for us, as punctuating her presentation. But had I advertised these meetings, what happened in Vancouver would have happened in most other places. The Jewish lobby, or the Antifa, or people who just simply hate Germans, would get on the phone and make threats, or would get on the phone and protest. And I have learned a rule about most bureaucracies, and that is, they really don't care what you do. Frankly, we could close the door of one of these public meetings and have group sex. Just as long as nobody complained or came by and saw us. And I've drawn that conclusion even going back to my period in education. I know teachers who did some very bad things in the classroom. And they got away with it, or they got away with it for a time, as long as nobody complained. Because the nature of many bureaucracies is they don't really care what you do, as long as you don't cause waves, as long as nobody complains. And that, of course, is our vulnerability. Until we find ways to push back. And, you know, we're not just sitting here twiddling our thumbs. We certainly are working on ways, and part of what we do is to expose these institutions. And while I know our outreach may not be such that we're going to drive them out of business today, it's something that we want every one of them to keep in mind. We're watching. And the time will come when the public mood changes. It won't always be the way it is today. And when that time comes, we will be demanding an accounting that will include restitution, my feeling is this: if a business does not respect other people's rights, the rights like freedom of speech and so on, if its only interest is to grub for money, then that when and if that day comes when times change, and they will change, then perhaps their right to make money will maybe have to be curtailed, or hotels that welched on an agreement should be sued, I would like to see policies, the law change to make it easier to go after these people, not from the point of view of vengeance, but they owe the public something. Oh, here's a great story: MP jailed after lying to police about speeding. Now, this item from the Associated Press and the National Post today has a picture of this member of parliament, and she's a negress. Okay, a British lawmaker has been jailed for 3 months for lying to police after she was caught speeding. Fiona Onasayana was sentenced Tuesday at the Old Bailey Courthouse in London. The 35-year-old was expelled from the Labour Party after her conviction, but continues to be a serving member of parliament as an independent. She was found guilty of perverting the course of justice by telling police someone else was driving her car when she was caught by a speed camera driving too fast in July of 2017. Her brother was sentenced to 10 months in prison for his role in the deception. Judge Jeremy Stewart Smith told Onasanya, quote, "You have not simply let yourself down, you've let down those who look to you for inspiration, your party, your profession, and parliament." Forgive me if I find this just a little bit funny. I'm not saying that people of European origin sometimes don't do not nasty things, but it is interesting that this 35-year-old member of parliament, as the chart says, perverted the course of justice. She outright lied to the police, tried to suggest somebody else was driving her car. And it's interesting because very often it's not the crime that brings you down so much as it is the it's not so much the crime as the cover up in this case. Exceeding the speed limit has got to be one of the lesser infractions of the law. Lying is far more serious, and while I would certainly agree, native Britons on occasion lie. I find the quality of immigration a problem. We're just not getting the best of the crop. And people have criticized me for many years for a feature we have in the Canadian Immigration Hotline called Crime Watch. Oh, yes. And if you'd like a sample copy of the Canadian Immigration Hotline, which is published monthly, just email me at paul@paulfromm.com. That's paul@paulfromm.com. I won't email it to you, but I will, if you give me a snail mail address, I will mail you a copy. I'll mail you a couple of sample copies, and of course I would hope that if you like it, you will subscribe. Anyway, I've been criticized for our approach. Some people, not on the in the movement, of course, but have said things like, well, it's white people commit crime too. Now, that's true. White people, there are white people who do commit crime, and it's not very good of them. It's reprehensible. But this is the difference. We do not choose our own people. You know, the people who are born in Canada are born in Canada. They're our problem. They're our people. However, we do choose immigrants. And so it is not much of an excuse to say, oh, well, Canadians, or native-born Canadians, commit crime too. Well, they do, of course. Some do, yes. Not a good thing. But the difference is, they're ours. We should be selecting not the run-of-the-mill, but we should be trying to select as immigrants the best. That is really the issue. Well, this is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. I'm going to take a musical break here, and I'm going to play a song by a lady I've played before. This is one of the famous Carter families. She was once called the rockin'est chick in country and western music, Carlene Carter. And this is I Fell in Love, which... Thank you.
feet strong.
Here's another song by a spirited lady of the not the one I wanted. Watch Your Love Flow by the Bellamy Brothers.
Yeah.
That's a Bellamy Brothers song from 1979. Hard to believe, 40 years ago. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. I'll take another blast from the past. This is Juice Newton, Queen of Hearts. That's Juice Newton. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Back with you again tomorrow, same time, midnight Eastern time. The show is repeated at 8 in the morning, 4 in the afternoon. All of those are Eastern Standard Time. And I sign off tonight, as always, due with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf, forever. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me.
In days of yore from Britain's shore, the dauntless hero came and planted firm Britannia's flag on Canada's fair domain. Here may it wave our boast, our pride, and joined in love together, the thistle, shamrock, rose, and twine, the maple leaf forever. Save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. At Queenston Heights and Lundy's Lane, our brave fathers side by side for freedom, homes and loved ones. spear firmly stood and nobly died. And those dear rights which they maintained, we swear to yield them never, are what word ever more shall be. The Maple Leaf forever, the Maple Leaf, our emblem dear, the Maple Leaf forever. God save our Queen and Heaven bless, the Maple Leaf forever. Our fair dominion now extends from Cape Race to Nootka Sound. May peace forever be our lot, and plenteous store abound. And may those ties of love be ours, which discord cannot sever, and flourish green o'er freedom's home, the Maple Leaf forever. The Maple Leaf, our emblem dear, the Maple Leaf forever. God save us.